It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, SiriusXM channel 204, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo's League of Game Plus. Still to come this hour, Chris Felica, the Bear from ESPN's College Game Day. We'll talk to him about, 20, 25 minutes on a 3-day winning streak here on the show in terms of picking at least one winner in horse racing. So he's got some thoughts, whole bunch of thoughts from Santa Anita and Churchill Downs today. We'll talk to him and Vinny Maliulo, slow jamming with Vinny to wrap up the hour. But first, he's the greatest radio host there ever was. He's got his own podcast these days, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast and the Todd Wright Toddcast. Coincidentally, ladies and gentlemen, it's Todd Wright. Good morning to you, Todd.
Good morning, Gil Alexander, and always happy to be the warm-up act to Krakenberger or Felica. I'm very flattered to warm up the room for them.
That is great. Now, those are really the two guys you usually precede on the air, just as coincidence goes. Thank you for making the time this morning, Todd. Before we get into the golf talk, we were randomly texting yesterday, and I'll even go, you made a video, which you should plug here, about the match Champions for Charity Showdown with Phil and Tiger and Brady and Manning, which we'll get to. And I noticed that, subtly in the background, subtly, S-U-B-T-L-Y, there was a cardboard cutout of the most interesting man in the world. And you told me, oh, there's a reason for him being there. He's guarding your bar. And you sent me a picture of your bar. And on the right side of your bar was this special bottle. You, and this ties into your experience with Don Rickles. Can you tell this story? Because I've never heard this before.
Sure. Roughly 10 years ago, maybe now 11, I'm thinking 2009-ish, Don Rickles came through Florida, and insert your own joke here, he was doing a Thursday 3 p.m. show in Lakeland, Florida.
You gotta
be kidding. 3 p.m. It reminds me of one of my favorite lines from one of my favorite Two and a Half Men episodes when Charlie Sheen becomes Charlie Waffles, a kid singing star. And he's like, who goes to, and he has to do a concert at 11 a.m. It's like, who goes to concerts at 11 a.m.? Hangs up the phone and says, stupid kids. So old people go to shows at 3 o'clock in Florida. So
my friend
who works for the Orlando Magic has the same appreciation for great comedians that I do. It was halfway. I said, tell you what, there's a Hooters right on the other side of I-4. We'll get lunch and then we'll go see Don. And he's like, how are we going to get tickets? And I said, I'll get tickets. So via a secondary ticket provider, we spent a little more. We sat second row center and we were probably among the youngest people in there for that particular show. And roughly 30 minutes into the show, Don's just sort of walking along the front of the stage and he's just making small talk. And I realize he's looking right at me. He says, young man, how are you? I said, I'm fine. Like, are you having a good time? Having a great time. He's like, why don't you come up here? And I thought he was kidding. And he's like, get up here. And he goes, run. So I get up, the row parts, I run up on stage. I'm wearing a golf shirt and a pair of jeans and a pair of Nikes. And of course he says, great that you're up here now. Thanks for getting dressed up for the show. So I walk over and he pulls me over his shoulder as everyone's applauding. And he just whispers in my ear, kid, you're going to do great. Just follow my lead. Have a good time. I'll take care of you. Then he brings up someone else. I think he's bringing up the only people who could physically walk upstairs out of his audience. So he found the two youngest guys. So he found another young guy on the other side and he brought us up. And I guess he does this. Anyone that's seen a Rickles show is probably familiar with the bit that we have to speak in. This is politically incorrect. Let's just say Asian gibberish. He's reenacting some scene that we are fighters in a war and we're talking in gibberish as we are being attacked. So he takes the lead. He would look at me. I would say something back in Asian gibberish. Then he would look at the other guy from the audience. He would say something back in Asian gibberish and he would fill in the blanks. We did this for a few minutes and then I said some gibberish. And he drops the mic, walks away as if he's pissed off, comes back, He actually gave his orchestra a cue, comes back, picks up the mic, points at me, looks at the audience and says, he just told me to screw myself. And that was the punchline. The band started playing. He shook my hand, hugged me. Same with the other guy, sent us back to our seats. And about a half hour later, I got this bottle of champagne with his logo on it. He acknowledged it. He said, thank you for joining me here on stage. Thank you for coming to the show. Enjoy that with someone you care about.
Wow. Gil Alexander, Todd Wright. Todd telling that story about being on stage with the great Don Rickles here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, a Thursday afternoon at Hooters and Rickles. Wow. Doesn't
what a combination.
Yeah.
No. I mean, that's Florida entertainment at its finest.
I mean, that really was, you know, is one of, you know, I don't have many regrets in life, but one of them is I never got to see Rickles, and being called on stage by him is this great badge of honor for anybody who went to any of his shows. So,
I've been very fortunate in my life. It's why we know each other from some of the things I've done that people have seen. This was before every phone had a camera. So to my knowledge, there's no video or picture evidence of me. I don't have a picture of it. I don't have any video of this. So there are two things from my life that I can't find anywhere. One is evidence of the appearance with Rickles. Thankfully, my friend from the Magic went. He's the witness. And the other thing was, not sure if you knew about this, when I was in college, I got cast to be on MTV's Remote Control. And I actually won the show and got into the Craftmatic and was the first ever contestant to play for a Mitsubishi Eclipse. And I can't find the tape and I can't find that episode online. So there seems to be no video evidence of these two things that I've done. Yes.
For this younger generation, Remote Control captivated guys of a certain age group. Who in the early days, not the earliest of days of MTV, but the early-ish days of MTV, more of a 90s thing, hosted by the great Ken Ober. I had no idea you were on that show. And to anybody out there listening who wants to devote part of their day to search for a Remote Control with Todd Wright on it, we would be your friends for life if you could find this, because that would be awesome.
Yes. Yeah, we can tell that story in a future episode. I know we want to talk about the match this weekend, but I figured I'd drop that one on you as well. And it was a long time ago. I was in college at the time wearing a green University of Miami jacket and beat a girl from UCF and a guy from USF because they were shooting all those at the brand new Disney MGM Studios, which hadn't even opened yet. That's where they were shooting an entire season that year.
Wow. Remote Control, for those who don't know, all about pop culture trivia and knowledge. So, of course, Todd emerged victorious. All right. So we do want to talk about the match, Champions for Charity Showdown. It is Todd Wright from the Todd Wright Toddcast and the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, but who joins us to talk golf all the time. Strange ending to the Rory, Dustin, Matthew Wolf, Ricky Fowler skins game last week, closest to the pin contest, where we didn't even get to find any measurement. We just had to take their word for it that Rory was closest to the pin. This is different, though. Explain the format to us, and we can go from there.
Here's how I understand the format, unless we are told different at the top of the telecast. They're playing two different formats. They will roll together over the 18 holes. The first nine is best ball. If you are familiar with Ryder Cup, if you play in any events casually, best ball means that basically Phil, Brady, Manning, and Tiger are all out there playing their own ball for nine holes. They will take the best score for each of the two teams. So if Tiger makes a four on a hole and Peyton makes a five, his team gets the four. If Phil makes a four and Brady makes a six, that team gets a four. So I think we're going to have a lot of even holes, or as commonly called, some say they don't use this term anymore, have the hole. No one wins the hole. I know one of the props in Vegas is, you know, who wins hole number one? The favorite is nobody, because it's very likely that Tiger and Phil both make par. And right. it's unlikely that Peyton and Brady would score better than Tiger or Phil, especially on the first hole, because Brady's actually favored to miss the fairway with his tee shot on number one in a prop. So they're going to do that for nine holes. So for nine holes, with maybe one or two exceptions, it's going to be Tiger versus Phil in match play. That score then carries over into the last nine holes, which is modified alternate shot. And the way I think they're going to do it is, this means that all four guys will hit a tee shot on every hole, just like they did one through nine. But then they'll choose whose tee shot they're going to use. So, for example, Phil and Brady will decide, all right, are we playing Brady's tee shot or Phil's tee shot? If they choose to take Phil's tee shot, Brady has to hit the second shot. Then Phil would have to hit the third shot. So there's going to be some strategy here, and I could literally see on some holes, if Peyton can hit a decent drive or two on some holes, Tiger will tell him, we're using your drive, so Tiger can try to hit the approach close to make give Peyton a chance to make the putt, especially on some par fours. That's how I understand the format.
That is my understanding as well. We'll both be surprised together if there's some quirk to that back nine that we were unaware of. But that sounds... to me, exactly how it is done. And so it creates this interesting handicapping thing, perhaps to some, about how you would you bet this. And so how do you want to do this, Todd? Do you want me to serve them up to you one by one, or did you just want to rant about which ones you like specifically?
Go for it. If I have no opinion on one and it's too tough for me to handicap it, I'll just say no opinion. Go ahead.
Okay, let's flash those up on the screen at Visa.com and the VSiN app. Let's start with the overall thing first before we get into the derivative props. Just in terms of the entire event itself, obviously, well, maybe I shouldn't say obviously, but it should once you hear this from folks, because, you know, the word is that Manning is a 6.4 handicap, Brady's 8.1, but the reports that the last time Brady played this course, he shot a 106. So the outright odds make sense. That Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning would be a favorite, minus 190 at the Westgate. Our friend Jay Cornegay and company, Jeff Sherman and crew, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, plus 170 coming back. Any thoughts on the outright odds?
Yeah, I really like Woods and Manning. I think Manning's just a better golfer for whatever he can contribute in the alternate shot format. Tiger lost to Phil last year. The only one who gets revenge better than Michael Jordan modern day is a Tiger Woods. And this is Tiger's home course. And then I told you something yesterday you weren't familiar with. It's my understanding Phil is going to tinker with some new equipment this weekend.
Yes.
Now, the last time
yes.
we heard about that was a failed Ryder Cup. So Tiger, I think, is taking this more seriously with his TaylorMade equipment that he's comfortable with, while Phil is using it to try to see if he likes some new stuff. So for that reason, I think Tiger and Manning are a very strong play and a very undervalued favorite.
Love that note about Phil using new equipment. How about to lead after nine holes? I know you had some thoughts about this as well. I would assume they're consistent with your overall thoughts. Do you like this better than the full 18 or less than?
No, I like it about the same. I don't think you're going to get someone, you're not going to get a lot of people winning holes on the front nine, unless Phil really hates this new equipment, because Brady's not going to be able to prop him up with his own ball. So I think Tiger also still is a strong favorite to win more holes head to head with Phil on the front nine. And I think there is a chance that a Peyton Manning maybe on number four is a par three, because you can play close to the pin. Manning surprises and like holes a putt for a two, where Tiger might miss his birdie putt or hits a tee shot tight and has a shorter birdie putt, maybe not on four, but on the other par three. But yeah, I still think Tiger and Peyton are a strong play as a favorite to win the first nine.
Okay, at Seminole. Here's an interesting one. Do you think either team will go four up?
No. No, I don't, because this is kind of a made-for-TV thing. And, you know, even if Phil is all over the place and Tiger's on his game, I actually think Tiger and Peyton may pump the brakes a little bit to keep us watching. You know, I don't think Tiger wants to run away with this and end it after 13 holes. I really don't. It's kind of hard to say, but I think once, if Tiger gets, say, two up, I think at that point, he's just trying to stay two to three up on the other guys, keep a little drama in it, enjoy the trash talk. I don't think we'll get to four.
All right. By the way, will either team go four up? For those not watching, the yes is plus 130. The no, minus 150. I think I like the no price on there. That's courtesy of the Westgate. How about, do you think anyone makes an eagle on this course?
It is Tiger's home course. And one thing I don't know, and Gil, help me out here. I was talking with a friend about this. See, Tiger and Phil should technically be playing different tees than Peyton and Brady, but I don't know if they will for TV purposes. It would look sort of odd if Phil and Tiger are at the tips and then Brady and Manning are, you know, 30 to 40 yards up on a par five. It's sort of odd. Then they're separated. So I don't think there's any chance Brady or Manning are making an eagle on this course. The only way you make an eagle is on a par five. If you reach it in two or somebody holes out from the fairway, this gets more rare. If anyone makes the eagle, it's Tiger. But even in some of his better rounds, he doesn't make eagle. So I think no eagle is a very strong play.
No eagle at minus 200 there at the Westgate. Then there's this funky one. I like this one. Woods, Manning winning both in double result. You like the price on this?
I do. And it's kind of everything we talked about with the format, with the front nine, with Tiger's revenge, Phil with bad equipment, Peyton's better than Brady. Yeah, I could easily see Tiger being one or two up as they make the turn. And then thinking about it now, that means he would have to win three up. I hesitate a little bit. If Tiger's two up, then I'm countering something I said earlier about them going four up because they could win four and three. But I think it's worth looking at the double result, and it just is a sign, Gil, of what we've talked about the motivation Tiger has and the fact that Peyton's a better player than Brady.
Yeah, Woods, Manning, by the way, double result, plus 125, win the front nine, win the full thing, plus 125, courtesy of Circa on that one. And then there's some others. If we go back to the other, the props themselves, by the way, do you make anything, how much or how little do you make, Todd? Just generally speaking, you mentioned Phil and the equipment. Obviously Phil and Tiger had a skins match last year at Shadow Creek in Vegas. Phil ends up winning it, under the, shroud of darkness. I mean, do you make anything of the revenge angle of Tiger? Like, will this annoy Tiger enough to have it enter your handicap on this?
It absolutely does, because he hasn't forgotten. You know, Woods thrives on things like this. I think a lot of the best athletes do. And yeah, I'm sure Phil's going to bring this up at some point along the way, or Tiger's going to bring it up saying, I can't let you win again. So yeah, I think that's there. And it's just another reason why it's not only going to be fun to watch, but why in the end, I think Tiger is going to cash more tickets for us than Phil will.
All right. And then real quick here, rapid fire. You don't have to say much about these. Will there be extra holes? Yes, plus 400, no, minus 500.
I know. No is such a heavy favorite, but no, they're not going extra holes. No, they might not get to 18. I think they might get to 17, but no, we're not going to 19th hole.
Will either team win three consecutive holes? The yes is plus 500, the no minus 700.
Again, I just don't think so based on the format, unless Phil just can't keep it in the fairway and can't be propped up by Brady. I'm going to stay away from that one, but I don't think Tiger's going to run off three holes in a row on the front nine.
All right. And then if you guys could flip the screen back there in the studio there at VSiN.com and the VSiN app. Yeah, really. I mean, I think we hit the big ones. I'll end it with this one. They're each one of these guys, Brady, Manning, Tiger, and Phil, there are individual props at Westgate. Will each of these guys end up in the fairway on hole one? Actually, the first one is which team? Actually, that's a typo. So it is, will Brady's tee shot end up in fairway on hole one? He's probably the most interesting of this. If he in fact shot a 106 the last time as reported, the yes is even, the no is minus 120. I might take a shot at the no on that.
Yeah. Mike Allstott once told me after playing in a grudge match with a couple of radio friends a number of years ago, Mike said hitting that first tee shot in that grudge match, which wasn't televised in front of about 100 people on the golf course, was the scariest thing he had ever done. Tom Brady might say the same thing. Now, here's the fallback, though. What if Brady just pulls an iron? What if Phil says, put the driver away, just hit an iron in the fairway? Then it's true. Like, oh, okay. So, it, you know, club selection is a factor here as well. But I do think it's interesting how Brady is the only one favored to not hit the fairway on number one. I don't think there's a chance Tiger misses the fairway on number one.
Todd Wright, the great Todd Wright, remote control champion. Thank you, Todd. As always, appreciate you making the time this morning. I like your picks, my friend.
Always a pleasure to be on with you, Gil.
Todd Wright, the greatest there has ever been in sports talk radio. ESPN All Night with Todd Wright back in the day. We'll come back. He's on fire. Chris Felica and his horse racing picks from Santa Anita and Churchill Downs today on the way on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
My next guest came on the show this past Wednesday and said, you know what, I'm going to come on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays to give horse racing picks. How about that? And he was 0-4 on Wednesday, and he was 0-4 on Thursday, and people were like, oh, this guy doesn't know anything. And then all he did is come back after that and say, oh, really? Friday, a winner with Ellie Arroway at Santa Anita. Then on Monday of this week at Tampa Downs, de craziness. And then yesterday at Churchill Downs, beauty day, winner, 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 chicken dinner. It's Chris Felica, everybody, from ESPN's College Game Day. Heater, how you doing, man?
We're doing well. We're going to look to see if we can get another winner to home today. The Gulfstream is probably not a place I'm looking towards today just because some more tracks braces are off the turf again today, so didn't really go through the Gulfstream card, but I do have five picks that I like here between the cards at Churchill and Santa Anita. So I'm just gonna run right through them, and if you have any questions, just feel free to cut me off and interject. So I'm gonna start in Churchill race two with the 7-horse Oro de Tejano. He's 3-1 on the morning line, but he's probably gonna be 7-5 or 8-5. Because Robertino Diodoro, the trainer, his horses are firing at all cylinders right now. And it's very reminiscent of how he did in the early part of the Oaklawn meet, where his horses were just winning at a very high percentage. So I'm going to ride him while he's hot. He claimed this one for $30,000 in a non-winners or two race in which he went favored back at Oaklawn. Took him and threw him in a starter allowance, which is a tougher race. Ran a good second in that race, but now he's back into a non-winners or two lifetime race for $30,000 at Churchill. He's going to be favored. He should be able to handle this field. He ran at Churchill a couple of times pretty well last year as well. So I feel pretty confident that Oro de Tejano has his field over a barrel and should win probably somewhere around 8-5 or so. Then I'm going to skip ahead to Churchill 7 and go to the 11-horse Fig Jelly, who is 3-1 on the morning line. And this is a horse who I'm calling up. They've been kind of kidding around, and all of the Jason Service and Jorge Navarro horses, anytime they make their return race off of, I've been calling it first time out of detox, as those who follow horse racing know the allegations against Navarro and Jason Service. But this horse now is in the Brad Cox barn, and he certainly has had a couple of months to familiarize himself with Fig Jelly. And even though this horse drew the outside, in a turf sprint with Javier Castellano. He should be able to sit just off of the speed or even inherit the lead if they so choose. So I think even though some people might worry a little bit about a horse running for the first time out of those barns, I'm not too concerned with it here. So I'm going to take Fig Jelly, and hopefully we'll be able to get around 3-1 or so on him as well. Then I'm going to go to the last race at Churchill. And I'm going to go to the 7-horse Fully Aware. This filly has been favored in both of her starts. She broke her maiden for fun in her debut. John Satter, the new trainer, claimed her out of that race, put her in a $50,000 allowance race, a much tougher race than what she's facing here. The winner in that race won by 6, so she really wasn't beaten that badly in her first start against winners for second place. So, and then now to drop back into a $40,000 claimer, she should fit much better here. That's the 7-horse in the 10th race at Churchill, Fully Aware. And then I have 2 at Santa Anita. The second race, number 3, Remember to Smile. I'm going to take a shot with this Calbred, who faces winners for the second time, goes turf to dirt. Jeff Bondi is having a good meet there. This is a bit of a play against the favorite, Your Royal Coil, who is clearly the speed of the race, but they're throwing blinkers on the horse. So I think off of the layoff, putting blinkers on a horse that's naturally fast, I think this horse might be a little too keen, a little too eager, and be pretty vulnerable late. So I'm going to go with the 3-horse Remember to Smile, but I could not talk you up any other price horse in there that you may like, because I think the favorite's vulnerable. And then the last race at Santa Anita, the 9th race, number 4, Good Things Come in Pink, who is 7-2. I was a little bit surprised that she wasn't favored on the morning line, but I guess the morning odds maker was thinking there could be questions about the layoff. There could be questions about if she's pace dependent or not. But if she runs back to any of the 3 races that she's had on the turf already at Santa Anita, that should be good enough to win here. So she's 7-2 on the morning line, but I'm going to guess she's probably 3-1 or 5-2 come post. So those are the those are the 5 I have for you. Churchill 2, the 7, Orizano. Churchill 7, the 11, Fig Jelly. Churchill 10, the 7, Fully Aware. Santa Anita 2, the 3, Remember to Smile. And Santa Anita 9, the 4, Good Things Come in Pink.
The Microwave, Chris Velika, instant offense, at Chris Velika on Twitter. Thank you, Chris. Got to run. That was beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Poetry. You have a good weekend. Be well, bud. Talk next week.
You too. Chris Velika on fire. Bet him quick, because the lines are moving already. Vinny Maliulo, slow jamming with Vinny next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
If 90s R&B is your thing, you've come to the right place. All your requests right now. Jodeci, Mint Condition, whatever you got. Vinny Maliulo is here. Slow jamming with Vinny. 1-800-CAMEL-JAMS. Vinny Maliulo from behind the desk. I think he's at Gone Gaming today. Good morning to you, Vincenzo. How you doing, man?
I am well, Gil. Yes, I am right now at Gone Gaming. I'll be over at South Point later on this morning. And But all is well, my friend. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. We got to get you a slow jam show for reals, though. Like late at night, deep into the night, take requests just to get those pipes they need to be.
I'm ready. I'm ready. We're 24-hour town still. Let's not forget that. And we have the VSIN technology going for us. Come on.
Yes, we do. Vinny, how you been? You staying safe? You good?
Yeah, everything is good, Gil. I get over to I'm in the office every day for a while, and stop at the South Point several times a week. I was with Jimmy Vaccaro the other day. I want to talk to Chris Andrews later on this morning. Because one of the things coming up, we're going to have the return of live sports, live sporting events. Yes, the PBR is coming to Las Vegas and going to be at the South Point starting in early June and running through. There's a series. There's a team PBR event that will take place in the Equestrian Center at the South Point, the Equestrian Arena. So we're excited about that. All the details are available on the PBR website as well as the South Point website. So we're looking forward to that.
Michael Gaughan don't care about no pandemic. He don't care about that. PBR.
Well,
it
you
is.
Know, we're very very excited about it. You know, PBR is it's interesting, and they were the last sport to hold up on activity, and it looks like they'll be the first sport to come back. So I want to say June 5th through the end of June. CBS Sports will be televising it, and then the championships will be later on this summer. So we're looking forward to live sporting events taking place. No patrons will be present, but the fact that it'll be on television is certainly a big plus.
Okay. Let me ask you this question, Vinny.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume off the top that you are not booking the MyUTR Exhibition Tennis Series in Florida today. That's going to be my first assumption. Four women's players play. You're like, yeah, that's a good assumption.
Right. Next assumption.
Okay.
Keep going. What's your next
assumption? Throw that out. We'll put that to the side then, I guess is where I'm starting with that. So then the ones that you are booking, okay, NASCAR, Coca-Cola 600 this weekend.
Yep.
We got Tiger, Phil, Brady, and Manning doing the skins game in golf this weekend on Sunday.
Right.
There is no UFC card. But there's other things going on. There's Bundesliga today.
And then
of course there's horse racing, which is right around the corner at the South Point at the race book there. So, let's rank them in handle. Who's at the top, you think, when all is said and done here this weekend?
Gil, you know, the handle is very easy to predict now on the day of. So if you look at today, there'll be a lot of Bundesliga action, even though there's only one match. What's interesting is NASCAR on Wednesday, a great response. I mentioned last week the UFC cards, because they're the focus of the day and they're on television. That's what folks have migrated to, and it gets not only their viewing focus, but it gets their betting focus too. So when you take into account that these events are pretty much solo events for that day, they get that. That's the 90%, 95% of the handle, and a higher handle than they would normally get when there's a regular, if you will, schedule out there, because there's really nothing else to compete against. So I think Tiger and Phil overall, that matchup is going to get a significant amount of play for a couple of reasons. Last week we did see the event. The four player event last week, which was DJ and Rory McIlroy won. That got a lot of play, but this one, because of more marquee names, in particular Tiger and Phil, who played last year, and then of course you've got the intrigue with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. So that I think this event will surpass not only last week's event in golf, but it will certainly pass last year's event, which was here in Las Vegas, if you recall, at Shadow Creek, between Tiger and Phil. But it wasn't a one-off event. It wasn't the focus of the sports betting world. Don't forget, it was in November, and it was they were going against up against football on Thanksgiving weekend. So this year's event, I think, will surpass last year's Tiger and Phil matchup, and last week's event by considerable margins.
Let me ask you this, beyond this then. Of all the futures you have up,
mm-hmm.
And I guess that would be weighted towards football because, again, as we've talked about, there's still no direct schedule for basketball or hockey, so mm-hmm. you're not rolling with that. Baseball, same story. Are people betting those, Vinny? Because, you know, one of the things that I've said on this show is, for me, I'm super, like, the only thing I got going in the NFL is like a Dolphins AFC East bet.
Mm-hmm.
Until I know for sure about any of these, and I'm counting on football as much as anybody, but right. I'm just not racing to bet it yet. Are you finding that to be the case, or are people just willing to do it?
Great point, Gil. I think a lot of folks have the same philosophy as you. So again, the fact that we will have day of events and day of handle going very strong. Everybody's kind of taking a wait and see approach on futures. Anybody that's betting futures may be looking for a price and comparing and comparison shopping for some perceived value. But there's no question that, well, let's look at it, right? Because we don't know what the format is going to be for the regular season or playoffs for the NBA and the NHL. So holding up on those. Baseball still hasn't made a determination yet. So those are off the table right now. In terms of the Super Bowl, everybody's taking a wait-and-see approach right now as well. So it's day of events or week of events that are drawing the betting attention.
Yeah. That's what I figured. I was curious, because it's like, does it matter to people? And I would think it would, as it does, if I'm any reflection of that. Vinny, stand by as always. We always go out the week with you. I want to ask you about Kentucky Derby, not only Kentucky Derby, but all the Triple Crown races now in order, starting with the Belmont at the end of June, Derby around Labor Day, followed by the Preakness. I want to ask you about how you're dealing with all that and more, of course, with Vinny Maliulo. For his perspective from behind the desk right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Maybe we'll even review some of our picks from earlier in the day. We'll do that too. Coming back.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
VSiN's digital magazine is out. Don't forget about it. It's called Point Spread Weekly. It's the best tool, not for your family jewels, but to improve your handicapping for the upcoming NFL season. The weekly issues offer expert analysis from Matt Eumanns, Michael Lombardi, and the rest of VSiN's panel of experts. Sign up now and get all of VSiN's content free until a major sport returns. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. That's VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for Point Spread Weekly. I don't know. Maybe it is the best tool for your family jewels. Someone else seems to think they are, but maybe that is as well. It's Gil Alexander. It's Vinny Maliulo, everybody. I'm sure he's super proud to be on this show after that promo. You're going to get Vinny. Stand by 1 second, because I want to really quickly review, because during this pandemic, it's just a mishmash, a goulash, a potpourri of sports. And I just want to go through some of the picks that we have and we'll flash them up on the screen. Yeah. Danny, you can flash up with them in whatever order you'd like. But we have them across multiple sports, of course. Here first, well, maybe we just had a false start right there. So I'll just tell you, tennis today, my pick is Alison Risk over Ayla Tomljanovic. So my tennis pick today is Alison Risk over Ayla Tomljanovic in the UTR exhibition series. Not available everywhere, but some outs have that. Here are Paul Carr's Bundesliga bets. By the way, that tennis match, those tennis matches begin in about 15 minutes. I'm not sure if the one that I just gave a pick for starts in 15 minutes, but the series of round robin events there in Florida starts in about 15 minutes. Also today, Paul Carr and Bundesliga. Bundesliga, just happens that Paul Carr gave the picks. He's got Dortmund from earlier in the week over Wolfsburg. He's got RB Leipzig over Mainz. Two good teams on the road. Dortmund about minus 130. RB Leipzig at minus 200 if you want some Bundesliga action. Bundesliga. Clap, 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 clap. Oh, and then we had, what else we have? We have golf. Brady Cannon, Todd Wright. Todd Wright today, pretty much all about Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning every which way overall. He likes him front nine. He does not believe some of the other derivative props. He doesn't believe any team will take a four-skin lead. Four-skin meaning F-O-U-R space skin lead, not a four-hole lead in that. You got to watch how you say these things, Vinny. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to break this down. I didn't really thought about it. So hopefully you heard that segment earlier. And then, of course, there's Chris Felica's horse picks, which he's on a 3-day streak here on the show with at least one winner. Churchill Downs, race number 2, the 7 horse Oro de Tejano, 3-1 shot. Churchill Downs, race number 7, the number 11 horse Fig Jelly. How could a horse named Fig Jelly not win? At 3-1, Churchill Downs, 10th race, number 7, Fully Aware, 5-1. And then at Santa Anita, the number 2 race, he's got the number 3 horse, Remember to Smile, at 5-1. And then the 9th race at Santa Anita, the number 4 horse, Good Things, Come and Pick, 7-2 shot. Vinny,
Nice buffet of selections by some outstanding opinions, some outstanding guys. Well done, Gil. Yeah. By the way, I had no idea I had no idea that you were hosting a Brist today. But
I should really go over that in rehearsal about the certain props, how I say them. There's so many ways to go here because we talked about horses and we talked about Vegas in general. Let me start with the horse racing. So I talked with Flatter and Felica earlier, Belmont in late June, and you were saying off air, and this is a great point. And then not only is the Belmont shortened, but then there's this really, I mean, this is not your mom and dad's Triple Crown, right? There's this big span of time before we get to the Derby and then the Preakness. How is it all looking from your vantage point?
Yeah, so let's go over the dates. So first of all, the locations stay the same. So typically you would have the Derby 2 weeks later, the Preakness, and then 3 weeks later, the Belmont. But now you've got a situation where the Belmont Stakes, which will now not be a mile and a half, the longest leg of the Triple Crown, and a two-turn race, will be a one-turn race at a mile and an eighth, and that's going to be run on June 20th at Belmont Park. So that'll be the first leg of the Triple Crown this year. The second leg will be the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs on September 5th, still at a mile and a quarter. And then the Preakness Stakes will be last this year at Pimlico, October 3rd at its a mile and a 16th. What's interesting, Gil, is this. A couple of factors here, and for folks looking at horses, the horses are going to be a little bit older now. Let's remember, every horse always is given that that age designation by January 1st. They're not all born there. So I think that's, these horses are going to be a little bit older. And to a three-year-old, that means a lot. So horses that are foaled in January, getting extra time to develop, certainly means a great deal compared to horses that are foaled, let's say, in the spring. I think the other part of it, Gil, is this is now, instead of a 5-week event, it is an 11-week, almost closer to 12 weeks for the Triple Crown this year. So some added excitement, I guess, some added dimensions to the handicapping that will come into play. And then, of course, let's remember this, the other two big days coming up for horse racing. Now, horse racing will really be very fall centric, if you will, again, up against what hopes to be every other sport, including football. Got the Breeders' Cup this year, back to Keeneland in Lexington, Kentucky, which will be November 6 and 7. Was at Keeneland a couple of years ago. Not a big track, very beautiful track in the heart of horse country. So they will be hosting the Breeders' Cup World Championships, which will be much closer to the Triple Crown. Let's remember that. So the Triple Crown will finish on October 3rd, and then a month later, 4 weeks later, you've got the Breeders' Cup in Kentucky.
I mean, as tough as this has been from a sports fan and sports betting perspective, the notion of a whole bunch of big events across sports, horse racing, golf's majors, NFL, hopefully college football, like the notion of all of those things happening in this condensed time frame, and who knows, maybe NBA, maybe NHL, maybe MLB. I mean, that could really turn the sports world on its head, certainly 180 degrees from where it is right now. So things to look forward to.
You bring up a good point, Gil, and you always point this out. You know, we talk about the busy events, if you will, during the course of the year. Obviously, Super Bowl comes to mind, the Triple Crown, the playoffs and things like that. You got March Madness. Thanksgiving is always a massive sports betting weekend. You've got a situation now where we went from really no sports taking place and sporting sports betting action to where the fall, God willing, things go well, and sports are played. We could have the busiest fall that we've ever had, and an increase in terms of the mobile app wagering, which I think we'll be paying very close attention to. More people will be signing up for mobile apps. Mm-hmm.
That's a lock. How about that? We never get a lock on this show. That's a lock, right?
Good call, right there.
Vinny, I leave you with this. By the way, Vinny Maliulo on Twitter at VSinVinny. That's Vinny with a Y. Vinny always stepping up his tweet game. I leave you with this question then, just a general heat check. Give me a heat check on all things Las Vegas from your standpoint right now. towards the end of May, Memorial Day weekend here.
Yeah, we had hoped, obviously, to be open for this weekend, Gil. Normally, this is a huge weekend for Las Vegas. Kicks off the summer, and we get quite a few visitors normally. So, casinos are still closed, but casinos are starting to announce their plans for reopening in terms of sequence of resorts. We're hopeful that Las Vegas gets to be reopened probably the latter part of this month, beginning of June, hopefully June 1st. I think there'll be a meeting on Tuesday by the Gaming Control Board who will get some opinions from medical personnel. There'll be communication about protocols and things like that. So Tuesday's a big day for Nevada in terms of the guidelines for casinos to reopen. And we're hopeful that that's pretty soon.
Yeah. We're all hopeful. We're all hopeful that it's done in a smart way. And, you know, we know all the risks. So obviously that's in the back of everyone's mind as well. But your sense is that this is going to be expedited now at this point.
I think so, Gil. Well, I think so. You know, protocols have already been outlined in terms of social distancing, right? Occupancy, you know, the seating, how the seating, if you, and there's been some photos of various resorts. In fact, at the South Point, you can see outside the VSIN studios where seating has been laid out differently. There'll be specific protocols for table games. For instance, 21 tables will have 3 seats instead of 5 or 6. You'll see specific guidelines for the dice tables and roulette tables, so slot machines and things like that. So, you know, it's a situation where we've got to make adjustments. The good part is sports wagering is still available. In fact, we did expand the hours from 8 a.m. to now. I'm sorry, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. For the mobile app signups and funding. So things are starting to expand. Here, I'm going to take the high road, Gil. We're in a better place today than we were a month ago, and I think a month from now we'll be in a much better place.
All right. Well, Vinny, I'm coming back next month. I'm coming back in June. I may go away again and come back in July. I don't know, but I'm at least making my way back. I'll probably do it by automobile rather than airplane, but I'm coming. So if that's any sign, if old Debbie Downer over here is coming back, it must be coming back. You know what I mean?
That's a great sign, buddy. And we'll look forward to seeing you. It might be at a little bit of a distance, but we'll definitely be able to be together. And that's a great thing. We're looking forward to that.
I look forward to it. Vinny, thank you as always, man. And stay safe, my friend.
Same to you, Gil. Take care, buddy. You and all the listeners and viewers out there.
You too. Vinny Maliulo, the great Vinny Maliulo, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN. Good luck with all your bets across sports. Again, Bundesliga, horse racing today, tennis, if that's your cup of tea, and of course, golf on Sunday. We've run the gamut, I think, in all of those sports. We will tweet out the NASCAR picks. There is the fifth sport. And I know Jeff Colander didn't have any specific picks this morning, but he's going to do his podcast. He will have his head-to-heads. I will retweet them at Beating the Book on a Sunday morning as well. So you'll have 5 sports from here on out. Thank you to everybody on the show today. Thank you to Danny Burke as well in studio. Thank you to everybody behind the glass. Good luck with all your bets this weekend. Happy Memorial Day weekend from all of us at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.